Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And if there's any one thing that this world needs, is God and original Christianity, so that we can understand what is happening in these days, because the days we are living in are the days leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And He is coming again in great power and great glory. But God has a controversy with the nations, and God has a controversy with the modern descendants of Israel, those who are America and Britain and the Commonwealth and the democracies of Northwest Europe, because they are the modern descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then there are the Jews, who are part of the 12 tribes in Jerusalem, in the land called Israel today, but it is anything but the Holy Land. So people today, with all the problems, all the difficulties, problems at home, problems in their lives, problems at their work, problems in their communities, problems in their cities, problems in their churches, difficulties, drugs, sex, immorality, everything all together. And they know there's trouble. And many people, experts, government people, bankers, religionists, they all know America is in deep trouble. And what people forget is this, is that God also judges nations. He raises them up if He intends to do them good. And He brings them down when they turn against Him and sin. And when the people of God turn against Him, as did the Jews here, and the children of Israel, as recorded in the book of Jeremiah, He sends the enemy. And He says the enemy is going to come as terror. God says, because you don't go to war when I send you to war, and you have your own wars, and you sin against Me, then instead of 5 of you chasing 100 of the enemy, 1 of them will chase 100 of you. And today that is true. 1 enemy will cause millions to be in terror and change their behavior.
And for those people like myself who've gone through that machine, you know, you have to take everything out of your pockets, not just metal, everything comes out of your pockets. Then they scan you, and then there's a guy there with a walkie-talkie talking to somebody else in an enclosed room to see if you've been cleared. It takes a while.
Prophecy fulfilled right in front of our eyes. Another prophecy being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. The strangers within you shall rise up and get very high above you, and you shall be brought down very low. Is that happening? Yes, like a tsunami wave. But why? They've tried to solve it politically. They've tried to solve it militarily. But that's the wrong solution. Because we didn't turn to God. So let's see God's side of the story. Because God told it to Jeremiah, and it's reserved for us today, preserved in the Word of God, to be preached in the end time to the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 1, And the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothals, Oh, how people love God, love the Word of God. When they came and established this country, they got on their knees and thanked God for the deliverance that they had to get here. Thank God for the protection from the stormy North Atlantic. Thank God that God gave them this land. When you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown, Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall be held guilty. Evil shall come to them, says the Lord. Yes, God guaranteed that he would fight for us. God guaranteed that he would help us. And God helped us in our history, in our wars, in our battles, in our lives. But something happened, and God observed it. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, this is his word, to you and everyone else. Think about this. We've gotten God out of government. We've gotten God out of education. We've gotten God out of the churches. We're embracing a multiplicity of religions together to form a one world religion. And we wonder what's happening. We've embraced evil as good and condemned good as evil. So God has his side of the story. Because God is good, his laws are good, everything that God does is good because he is perfect and holy and true and a God of love. But as we saw last time, if we don't love God back with all our heart, mind, and soul and being, because he's given us everything that we have and are. So God says, here's his case. He's bringing you to court today. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and became vain? And isn't that true of us today? Where is God? You want to know the clues to find out why he's not here? You go to Exodus 20 and read the Ten Commandments, and all of them apply. Nor did they say, whereas the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, through a land of dry places, of deep darkness, through a land that no man passes through, where no man lived. And I brought you to a plentiful country. Isn't all of those countries that I mentioned at the beginning? Aren't we all a plentiful country? Every single one of us. Yes, indeed. To eat its fruit and its goodness. But, God says, when you entered, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. Is that not what we have done? Think about it. Think about all the major sins that we have. Corrupt and evil government. False religion and false ministers, evil rulers, evil educators, sinning people who are robbers and thieves and liars and cheats. Now, there are some people trying to do good, but all of them have all their own little deceitfulness within their minds. Now, you might think, well, that's not me. Oh, no, I'm a good person. Really? Why, I go to church every Sunday. And I keep Sunday and Christmas and Easter and New Year's and Halloween. And we have such a good time with the family. We're good people. Yeah, we help the poor. We do all of those things. And you know what? You're deceived. Because every one of those are condemned in the Bible except helping the poor. And then we have all the sex problems, all the drug problems, all of the delinquency problems, all of the injustice now welling itself up in race riots. Let's read on. Here's why, verse 8. The priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" Oh, yes, let us return to the Lord. Now, there are some who are trying. But you have to come to God's way, not with your attempt. Now, that's better than nothing, but however, not much better than nothing, because you're going from one deception to another deception. And they who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also rebelled against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal. Now, who was Baal? Who is Baal? Is he around here today? Oh, that's just an ancient god in the Old Testament. No. Baal was the sun god. And his day of worship was and always has been and still is today, Sunday. And the children of Israel participated in that, and they dedicated that day to the Lord. And God had already dedicated the seventh-day Sabbath for the people. People cannot take a day of Satan, the devil, and a false god and dedicate it to God and say, "Oh my, aren't we nice and wonderful people?" Oh! Let's read on. And walked after things that do not profit. We're soon going to learn that lesson when the dollar fails. All the financial things we have will come apart and profit nothing. Therefore, I will contend with you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will contend. And he says, go look around the world. Look at all the other nations of the world. Look at their gods. Has any of them been called out and chosen like you, the children of Israel, and of course all their modern descendants? Did any of them change their gods? He said, no, they didn't. Verse 11, has a nation changed their gods who are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. That's what we've done. So God says, here's God's point of view. Because our behavior and the behavior of the people of the whole world affects the world and everything in it. And in a sense, human behavior is also responsible for the upset weather conditions. So God says, verse 12, be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be utterly desolated, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water, meaning their false ways, their false religions, the things that they have accepted as good, which are really evil. Think about it. That perfectly describes Christmas. And people embrace it. And if you come and tell them, what you're doing is not right. Oh. You are Ebenezer Scrooge. And little do they realize that that beautiful tree that they put in their house is a celebration of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not of God. And everyone really knows it. But it's so much fun, and it's so good, and it's a family affair. Those things are part of what you have created to go away from God. Oh, but we do it in the name of God and we ask God's blessing on it. You forget one thing, there's another God in this world. And his name is Satan the devil. And he brings benefits and he likes to deal with little children. And he likes to keep everyone deceived. So God says, verse 17, have you not brought this on yourself, and that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way? What's going to happen? Because all of these laws have been set in motion. See, and as I've done before, I've taken my keys and dropped them. They fell because the law of gravity always, always works. It's like all the laws of God. So verse 19 says, your own evil shall correct you and your backsliding shall reprove you. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that the way it is? Oh, yes, we want to have a prayer before a football game on Friday night, which is breaking the Sabbath. Oh, Lord, please be here and bless this affair. God's not there. Let's go on. Verse 20, for of old time you broke your yoke and tore up your bonds, and you said, I will not serve. I will not keep the laws of God. Yet upon every high hill and under every green tree, you lay down like a harlot. Isn't that what we're doing today? Yes, indeed. God says, here's God's side of the story. Yet I planted you a noble vine, holy, a true seed. How then have you turned into degenerate shoots of an alien vine to me? How did everything get upside down and backwards? Because you left God. Because you told God, butt out of my life. Butt out of my business. And preachers and ministers, they didn't preach you the truth. And they themselves are enslaved in their own sin. So God says here, verse 22, oh, but we'll come back. Oh, we will be strong. God says, for though you wash yourself with potash and multiply soap for yourself, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. Now, some people say, well, I didn't know. Well, that may be true. But why didn't you know? Now you have to answer that question yourself, deep down in your heart. How can you say, I'm not defiled? I've not gone after Balaam. No, we're not sun worshipers. We're Christian. Really? Original Christianity never kept Sunday. Always kept the 7-day Sabbath. Think about it. You want to know why God doesn't help? There's your answer. Do you love God, obey his voice, and keep his commandments? If you do, God will help you. He says, verse 25, withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst, but you say, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. Everything that is against God, people love. And after that, they will go. Now God says, don't you even have a conscience? Don't you even think or entertain a thought? That you have to get right with God? That you have been wrong? So God says here, verse 26, As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their rulers, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a tree, evolution. Here's what they said. Give it a big hug. You know, just like this wonderful ad, here's Grandma. Nice, wonderful, loving Grandma. And she takes a granddaughter out to this big oak tree for her husband to be proposed to her. And they fell in love under that oak tree. And so the parting scene is they're getting ready to leave the oak tree. Here's the granddaughter hugging the tree.
Some things are worth holding on to.
You're hugging the tree.
You say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone you gave me birth. Oh, yes, we evolved. For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Lord, where are you when we need you? God, why didn't you prevent this? God, why don't you help us? You've got to repent. And repentance means to stop breaking God's laws and commandments and to quit loving your way and love God and His way. That's where we started, remember? So think about this when you watch the news every night and see all the disasters and problems going on, and ask yourself, what am I going to do with my life before God? Are you willing to change? So here's God's answer to you. But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise. Yes, let the statue of Mary come alive.
I think because each person has gone through some kind of pain and anguish, how many parents have lost their children through death. And I think they can relate to this image better than anyone else.
This statue speaks to us. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful to be able to touch it and feel.
If they can save you in the time of your trouble, for according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why will you contend with me, God says. Why will you accuse me? Why will you berate me, God says. This is God's side of the story. You need to understand God's side of the story. So here, in effect, God is taking us to court. Because, in effect, when we do these things and then we ask God to save us and we don't repent, we don't return to Him, we don't love Him, we don't keep His commandments, then God says, why do you contend with me? You all have sinned against me, says the Lord. In vain I have stricken your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a devouring lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, a land of thick darkness? Why do my people say, we roam freely? We will no more come to you. Yes, liberty, freedom, and the kind of liberty and freedom that we have now is enslavement to sin. So God says, will you return to me? Will you? That's why we have church at home, because everything has to start at home. And it's between you and God. That's why we have to get on our knees and cry out to God. Ask for His forgiveness. Learn how to serve Him and love Him. Learn how to keep His commandments. Learn the Word of God. Let His words and His way be put into our minds and in our hearts with His love and with His Spirit. Because as we will see in the next session, there will come a time when God will not hear under any circumstances unless there is profound repentance. Now, I know that these are difficult words, but we're living in difficult times. And just like in the time of Jeremiah, God told him to speak. So that's what we do here at Church at Home, because you see, the first thing that everyone needs to do in the privacy of his own home is come to God on his terms. Open your Bible, read his word, believe what God has said. Learn to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your being. That's what God wants. Now, you need our book. Lord, what shall I do? Is your life in trouble and turmoil and upside down? You need the book, Lord, what shall I do? And we have especially there the very last chapter in Lord, what should I do? A special message for every minister and pastor and priest, because God is holding you accountable. And you will receive a greater judgment against you because you handled the Word of God. And you need to know that what you are doing is not right. And you need to change and repent yourself. We're living in desperate times, and they're going to get much more desperate. And that's why we have Church at Home. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.